All right. This, what do you do? Well, praise God. Praise God. He answers our prayers. Amen. It's been a tough road, but He brought you through it. Yeah. And you got your hair. Remember, we prayed about that, didn't we? Praise God. That's really all we got to do is just use the name of Jesus. If remember, always remember, if we ask anything in His name, that's what He will do. We don't have to be hot rods. All we got to do is just pray in His name. Use the Word of God and let Him do what He does. Amen. When we do that, we put all the pressure on Him. We're not designed to carry that kind of pressure. It's all about Him. He's the only one that can do it. So we just call on the one that can do it. Peter said, "Jesus, save me." That's one of the best prayers we could ever say. Amen. All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? The communion is one of the most special things that we can partake of. Out of all the things that we can do in church, partaking of the communion is one of the most intimate things that you'll ever do with our Lord Jesus. He said to take this as often as you will. He said, "Take, eat, this is my flesh." You know, his original disciples, his first disciples, they said, "This is a tough saying." And a lot of them walked away. But He wants us to partake of His flesh. And Paul said to discern the body of Christ. I mean, we're going to have to look at this bread and see the body of Christ and see that sacrifice. Literally vision Him on the cross. His beaten and broken body on that cross. Bearing your sins and the full wrath of God's fiery judgment on His body. The judgment that was meant for us. See Him with all your sicknesses, all your diseases on that cross. See the stripes in His back. The Bible says that it's by His stripes that we were healed. Literally, get a vision of Him on that cross, bearing all of your sicknesses and all of your diseases, all of your sorrows, all of your griefs. Father, we thank You for that sacrifice. We're taking this for our healing and our wholeness. In Jesus' name. We remember Your sacrifice on purpose. And Father, we try to keep that on the forefront of our thinking. Father, we thank You and we praise You for the shed blood of Jesus. This blood of Jesus is the only thing that could wash away our sins. And it's the blood of Jesus is the only thing that made it possible for us to come into your presence. And now we can go boldly into your presence as your own children, because we are. We receive your mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus. We thank you for the protection of the blood of Jesus. We praise you in Jesus' name. You guys ready to continue on with your adventure in creative love giving? Has it been fun so far? I get a kick out of it. There's just so many opportunities out there. And God just, when you do it His way, He pours blessings out on you. Now here's a... We're going to start off in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14. Says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith, have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed, be filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon an altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Here's the thing. Faith works by love. Faith works. Corresponding action is what we're talking about. Corresponding action. Not religious duty, not tradition, not habits, not practices, but faith through corresponding action. You're literally going to put action to what you profess, you say you believe. Corresponding action to what you believe and profess. I've wondered, what would happen if Melania Trump came walking into this building today? I suppose we'd make sure that she got a good cup of coffee. You know, we'd all visit her, be cordial to her, make sure she got a nice piece of cake, ice cream. I suppose if Barron Trump came with her, we'd probably make sure he got a good piece of cake and ice cream. Why? Because he's a notable man. Donald Trump is a notable man. But did you know that we have among us in our communities wives and children of more notable men than Donald Trump ever will be? Ever. God said that he would be the husband to the widow. Think about this for just a second. I don't think a lot of people really understand just how God looks at widows and orphans. But we're going to find it here. This is another key to turning on the blessing spout. These things I've been telling you are just different keys, different places that you can give, and it just puts God's giving on steroids, as if he needed any help. But he needs a little cooperation from us. I want you to look at Psalms chapter 68, verse 5. Psalm 68, verse 5. Now, these different things that I'm telling you about are not just things that I found in the Bible and wrote it down on notes and said, you ought to try this. These are things that I've actually plugged into and practiced. These are actual things that happen all the time. And I try to give you as much examples as I can just so you can see how it operates. But Psalm chapter 68, verse 5 says, "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the land." Now here's the thing. God is so very protective of widows. He places widows at a very high importance on his list. And orphans. He's very concerned about orphans and widows. We should be concerned about orphans and widows. We should make sure that we're attentive to this. There's a lot of widows I've seen in the past that have just gotten shuffled to the side. You know, things happen. You know, the man of the house, the bread earner, is working one day, and the next day, he's no longer there. And now the widow is left with a meager income. You know, in a real right world, there would be a child there to take up the slack. But all too often, the children are scattered from coast to coast or just in places where they just won't stop what they're doing to go take care of business. That shouldn't be. But the church, the body of Christ, we have a job. We can stand up and make a difference. One thing about this church body, when you give into the tithes and offerings, we take part of that and we send it to an orphanage in Mexico. So we make sure that we're hooked up with the gospel. So this is not just some common orphanage either. This is an orphanage that takes these kids off the street, and they give them an education. They teach them how to live. But they don't just turn them loose when they're 18. They keep these kids. They get them through school. They get an education. And then they build these little houses. And they sell them a house. So they learn how to make payments. Or they rent that house. So they learn how to make payments. They learn how to be responsible in life. They learn. They actually get raised. They don't just grow up. They get raised. They help them through till they learn how to live. And then, when they get successful at that, then they can step out on their own and start living life. This orphanage really, really does a good job. But it costs money to raise kids. Did you know that? These guys figure it takes them $250 a month to take care of a kid. So we send them $250 a month. But there's... Did you know you could actually, if you wanted to, you could sign up and get on that list to send... You could adopt your own orphan. Send $250 a month to Vita 180. If you wanted to, if God laid that on your heart. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3 says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Literally, the Bible tells us to honor widows. This is part of plugging in to the heart of God. We want to be equally yoked with Him. We want to find out what's on His heart. See, there's a lot of things on His heart, not just getting everybody saved. There's a lot of things that need to be done in the kingdom that He holds really close to His heart. And widows is one of the things that is really important to Him. He doesn't want them left out. Widows indeed and widows in need is one who has no relatives or friends to support her. You know, sometimes they're just off in far off distant cities and they just can't be there. Sometimes fortunate ones have family that's close that can stay and help. I've seen family members drop what they were doing in different places and come back home to make sure mama was okay. But sometimes that's just not feasible. Look at James chapter 1, verse 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridle, or excuse me, James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we can visit the fatherless. We can bring relief. And this does honor to God. This brings honor to God. Orphans certainly do fall into the category of the poor. Well, there's a attitude with a lot of the church that says, yeah, we'll go help them mow the lawn, and that's a good thing. We'll go check on them, and that's a good thing, and do whatever. But God's literally saying, grab your pocketbook and get busy. See, you notice you're not looking at a pulpiteer. Too many times in churches, the pastor's saying, you bring it all right here to this basket, all of it. That's not the true prosperity gospel. The true gospel of prosperity is getting it out there where it needs to be. Helping others. You're plugging into God's system when you do that. It may not be. See, here's the thing. It may be 20 bucks. Doesn't seem like a lot, does it? But when you put it in God's hands, He multiplies the value of your giving. And then He can do a lot with that. You know, God can do a lot with a little bit. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. These are just different places you can give. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You know, people just show up. I've ran into people here, and, you know, I'm just curious by nature. I like to locate people. I like to find out where people are coming from. How did you end up in Fort Davis? One time, the fort called me and said, can you come out here? We need a pastor out here to talk to this lady. Oh, wow, this ought to be good. So I go out there, and there's this pregnant woman. She was pretty pregnant. And I said, what's going on? She said, I need some food and try to get some vitamins and stuff for this baby. And I said, well, who are you with? And she said, I'm just hitching a ride from that guy. I said, where are you going? I said, Chicago. I said, okay. So where you been? I said, New Orleans. So you've been, I said, okay, so you've been in New Orleans. And you said, but they were on their way to San Francisco, but she's going to Chicago. I said, that's not the way home. There's a shorter way. She said, I know. So, but I hitched a ride from this guy to get to San Francisco because her friend was in San Francisco and they were going to go to Chicago together. And I said, well, okay, you clarified that for me. I'll go buy you some food, lady, but I'm not going to give you any cash. I will go buy you some food. She said, that's all I need is some food. I said, well, let's go shopping. Let's see how things happen. People just end up. You know, people weave when they should have wobbled. You know, as a church, we bought bus tickets for people. They show up here, they're trying to get to wherever. They manage to hitch a ride to here, and they need to get home. Entertain strangers. You know, sometimes help strangers in need. Don't let the attitude that really seems to shine said, oh, don't go anywhere near that guy. We don't know who he is. I mean, you can let the Holy Spirit guide you, but not everybody out there that's a stranger is dangerous. Did you know that most of the dangerous people aren't going to be in broad daylight asking you for help? Did you know that God will protect you in spite of that? Use discernment. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 John chapter 3. And I kind of like the idea of entertaining angels, just in case. You know, you may have entertained an angel. 1 John chapter 3. I better get to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 17. For whoso has this world's good and see his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How many Christians? He's talking about fellow Christians. How many Christians do we see that struggle from day to day? You know that there's Christians that have a hard time getting to their next meal? You know, there's Christians that have to juggle. Well, if I pay the electric bill, I can't pay the gas bill. If I pay the gas bill, I can't buy medicine. If I buy medicine, I can't pay the electric bill. You know how many Christians we have that struggle day to day trying to figure out which one they're going to choose? But here's the thing. He said, whoso has this world's good, he's talking about those that have the ability to meet the need, and they don't meet the need, how does the love of God dwell within them? You know, we can buy food for people. You know, there's different things that we can do to help people. And he's talking about Christians. Don't let the attitude of saying, well, if he would go to church more often, well, if he believed the way we believed, we see, here's the thing. We seldomly know the whole story. We may know bits and pieces of it. And the attitude a lot of times is, well, if I was him, this is what I would do. You don't have any idea what you'd do until you are actually in that position, until you're actually living that nightmare and walking in their shoes, you don't know what you would do. So if you're not praying, shut up. It's a bad idea to judge people in their afflictions. When, especially if you have the ability to help. If you have the ability to help, then get in there and do something. And I'm telling you, it gets kind of addictive. It gets fun. It gets where you look for places to give. And you can get, that's why we call it creative love giving. God has lots of places out there. And he can give you creative ideas on how to meet people's needs. God meets our needs so that we can meet the needs of the people around us. You know, that's what Jesus walked in, true prosperity. He wasn't just out there throwing money around. But here's what he did. every time somebody had a need, whether they needed deliverance, or they needed healing, or they needed advice, whatever they needed, if they needed a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, if they needed a miracle, whatever it was they needed, he was there and he met the need. And one time Peter needed some money, so he told him to go fishing. So Peter got to have fun while he's getting his financial needs met. How cool is God? Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. When you give to the poor, God pays you back. See, he just said, when you lend unto the poor, you lend unto the Lord. Huh? How much of an honor would it be to give to God? Say if he showed up and needed 10 bucks, I bet you'd just be, you'd be finding 10 bucks. Wouldn't you? If he just came up and asked you for 10 bucks, I bet you would be finding 10 bucks somewhere. You would find $10. You would find a way to come up with 10 bucks. But do you really believe that? Well, it said, he that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. When you get out of Fort Davis, you know, you start getting to Fort Stockton, you know, Pecos and some of these bigger towns and get out of town, you find them, they have cardboard signs. They're all over. And here's the thing. We don't know exactly what got them in that place. But a general assumption said, well, if he just quit drinking and go to work. You know, the last guy that I ran into that I talked to said he had diabetes. He had a thing on his foot, a boot on his foot, and they cut his toe off. And I suppose maybe it could be that maybe that diabetes may have been what cost him his job. I don't know. You know, sometimes things don't work out the way people planned on, and he may have lost his job and lost his insurance to boot. And now he's got to buy high-priced insulin. You know, you can either buy insulin or die. So we don't know what happens to people. We don't know how they get there. But it doesn't hurt us to help them. We lend unto the Lord. God will make sure that money comes back to you. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. You know, he told us to give to every good work. There's a lot of good things, a lot of good places to give. You know, there's Bible students. You know, when somebody decides they're going to go to Bible school, you know, they normally quit their job so they can go to school. You know, or maybe they take a part-time job. A lot of times those Bible schools aren't close to home. You know, mine was 1,000 miles away. You know, it was a blessing. Sometimes people would just buy me lunch or buy me supper. You know, or somebody would come up, and one time my pickup broke down, and say, "Hey, what's wrong with your truck?" I said, "Well, my transmission went out." So we'll buy you a new one. "Well, that's cool, because I don't have any money anyway." There's lots of places to give. Missionaries. Missionaries. Give money to missionaries because they're going out there into all the world and doing what we were told to do. So we're actually tying into the gospel of God. You get to be part credited for getting missionaries out there, and somebody gets born again. You are part of that. That should excite you. We give Dwayne Myers every month. You know, that guy started over 7,500 churches around the world. He's over 90 years old, and he's still preaching. I don't know how many millions of people that he's gotten born again. I have no idea. He's not a big numbers guy. But he's changed the lives of literally millions of people all over the world. We're part of that. How about the Gideons? You know, the Gideons, they go and they put Bibles all over the place where they'll let them. They'll put them in those motel rooms, put Gideon Bibles in there. You know, one time I didn't have very much money, but I had a little bit. And I was sitting in church, and this Gideon guy showed up. My pastor told him to get up there and say a few things, and God said, "You give that Gideon $200. I said, "Well, that was half my budget." So, "You give that Gideon $200. "Okay." So I gave that Gideon $200. And God loaded me up not very long after that, blessed me, just covered me up. I'm just telling you, listen to God and give as He purposes in your heart, when and where and how much. Let God take care of that. Don't do it out of a religious tradition. You know, evangelists, you know, we got Dennis McKinley, he's coming the 27th of August. How cool would it be to just set aside a little bit every week till he gets here and just bless him with that? I know the church, we pay him $750 every time he comes, but how about if each one of us just kind of purposed in our heart, you know, ask God, say, what would you have me do? And get that money into the hands of an evangelist. You know, everywhere that guy goes, he's looking for somebody to get born again. Everywhere he goes, he's looking for an opportunity to witness to the Lord. I don't know how many people he's gotten born again, but that's a good place to give. The fivefold ministry. You know, God really does still have the fivefold ministry in effect. There's apostles. There's prophets. There's evangelists. There's pastors. And there's teachers. You get into some circles, it's almost like it's just a pastor. And all the money has to go to the pastor. And actually, what really irritates me a lot is they call these other ministries para-ministries. That word needs to be scrubbed out of the dictionary. Because it's almost like they're a parasite. They're not. They're part of the fivefold ministries that Jesus gave to the church. Each one of them has a very significant duty to the church. We should learn something from each one of the fivefold ministers. I've made it a point to have the full fivefold ministry in this church at different points in time. Remember Oop? He's fun. He was fun. He's having fun in heaven now, but he was fun. But that's the thing is, I consider it the fivefold is 100%. Wouldn't you think so? So if all you do is just listen to the pastor, you know you're 80% undone? There's a full fivefold ministry that you should make it a point to come in contact with, to listen to at different times. You should listen to prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, and apostles. They're all important. And they didn't just go away. One day, Jesus is going to have his church established on this earth the way he intended it to be. We're all going to come together in the unity of the faith. And we're going to be celebrating Jesus, and the full fivefold is going to be in full force. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for giving us the means to meet the needs of other people. We believe that we truly can be like that tree that is planted by the rivers of living water, where the drought doesn't hurt us. We continue to grow and flourish and bear fruit. And our branches grow over the neighbor's fence so they can eat some too. Father, we thank you that you have made us to be a blessing, looking for a place to happen. We thank you for these things. And we thank you, Father, that when we look to you, that you meet our needs above anything that we could ever expect. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have a little testimony.
All right.